following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and this is Crane's Daily Gist. Pipeline Health is suspending services at Westlake Hospital and Melrose Park that it planned to close later this year, primarily due to declining staff rates posing patient safety risks. But the move today didn't surprise local officials, who filed an injunction yesterday to prevent such a move. A spokesperson for the hospital said the process to suspend services at Westlake will start right away and calls the suspension temporary, but didn't disclose plans to reopen. However, the injunction filed in Cook County Circuit Court alleges that Pipeline put together a plan to make it seem that it's short-staffed and that it transferred staff and equipment to its other hospitals. More on the details and timeline of that story at ChicagoBusiness.com. Coming up, a conversation about the latest in Chicago's commercial real estate development boom. That conversation, business headlines, updates, and more after a quick word from our sponsor. A Chicago-based institution, Wintrust Commercial Banking, provides area businesses with local decision-making and a personalized focus. With specialty services for specific industries and tools like treasury management, commercial lending, and wealth services, the dedicated team will support you and your business through every need. Wintrust Commercial Banking was built here in Chicago to serve Chicago businesses. Learn more about how they can help you achieve your business goals at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. The amount of venture capital raised by Chicago companies slowed in the first quarter to its lowest rate in 2 years, but the number of deals remains steady. Funding totaled $275 million across 39 deals, according to a report by PwC and CB Insights. It's the lowest total funding since first quarter 2017 and below the quarterly average of nearly $400 million over the past 4 years. Nationally, first quarter venture funding fell 36% on 4% fewer deals from a near record pace in the fourth quarter, the report said, as the number of jumbo fundings over $100 million slowed. Among the large first quarter deals in Chicago, FourKites, a logistics software company, led the way with $50 million in financing. Online insurance company ClearCover raised $43 million, and Catalytic, a maker of AI business software, raised $30 million. Top-ranked Ability Lab is getting ready to launch a quality assessment tool that measures patients' rehabilitation and recovery progress to guide doctors and insurers. The hospital has spent $6 million in 8 years developing and refining what it calls the Ability Quotient. The company's CEO said its clinicians are already using the tool, and they'll soon partner with at least five other organizations for beta testing. Here's how the tool works. Clinicians test patients in areas like cognition, balance, and endurance. Algorithms for different patient populations highlight the most statistically important measures, and the data tells clinicians where to focus if patients are falling behind in certain areas. Ability Lab CEO said the more data collected for each patient population, the better clinicians will be at setting benchmarks and predicting patient outcomes, and that insurance companies could use the tool to reward quality care with higher reimbursement rates. Ability Lab CEO said the more data collected for each patient population, the better clinicians will be at setting benchmarks and predicting patient outcomes, and that insurance companies could use the tool to reward quality care with higher reimbursement rates. Striking Chicago symphony musicians have rejected management's, quote, last, best, and final offer to end the 30-day strike. That means the strike continues. CSO has already canceled 33 performances by the orchestra and other musical groups due to the strike. Continuing it will force additional cancellations, according to a statement released by the organization today. Pension and pay raises are the two major points of contention between management and the union. Under the plan proposed by management, salaries would have been raised 11.5% over 5 years. But in rejecting the plan, musicians say that it would deny new hires guaranteed retirement benefits and keep two-thirds of the orchestra from getting any increase in their pension. They say the suggested pay raise works out to an average of 2.3% a year, which puts the CSO further behind the salary offerings in other major cities. That's all according to a statement announcing the vote. The musicians went on strike March 10th after nearly a year of negotiations on their new contract. The strike has garnered national attention and turned political, with Cook County Board President and former mayoral candidate Tony Preckwinkle, Senator Dick Durbin, and other politicians visiting the picket line. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sent a letter of support to the musicians, and in a rare move, CSO Music Director Ricardo Muti, who's not a member of the Musicians Union, voiced his support for musicians in a letter to both the board chair and the president of the Symphony Association. For the second year in a row, ComEd is seeking to keep rates relatively level. The company filed today for a modest revenue decrease of $6 million that would trim about 38 cents a month from the average household electric bill starting next year, the utility said in a news release. This follows a $24 million decrease the Illinois Commerce Commission approved late last year for 2019. ComEd files for rate changes every year under a formula that doesn't give state regulators a lot of room to make changes. The formula rate, enacted as part of ComEd's Smart Grid program, expires in 2022, and the company is asking state lawmakers to extend it for another decade, while at the same time budgeting for improvements. Under the $2.6 billion Smart Grid program, ComEd installed smart meters in 4 million local homes and businesses and added features to the power grid that has reduced the number of outages. That project has pretty much run its course, but ComEd says it has an even more aggressive spending plan over the next 4 years on unspecified projects. More on that story at ChicagoBusiness.com. Coming up, we talk with Crane's Chicago Business commercial real estate reporter Danny Ecker about the latest in the ongoing commercial real estate development boom. That's right after this word from our sponsor. Wintrust Commercial Banking offers a full suite of financial resources designed to meet the needs of middle market businesses and larger companies. With comprehensive and personalized financial solutions coupled with bankers who get to know your industry's demands, Wintrust Commercial Banking is committed to providing the tools to help your business reach its strategic growth initiatives. You've got a vision for your business, and Wintrust Commercial Banking is here to help you see it through. Find out more at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We're joined now by Crane's Chicago Business commercial real estate reporter Danny Ecker to talk about the latest in the downtown development boom. Danny, thanks so much for joining us. I feel like you have the busiest beat in town and probably never have a day off. There's so much happening in the commercial real estate world.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't sleep that much because there's going to be another proposal for an office building or an apartment building or something that's going to come out and you're going to miss it. So this is the nature of such a long economic growth cycle and developers just trying to chase down profits in Chicago.
And so what is the latest? This is we're looking at a River North developer who, I think, you know, it's not one of the giant names, but yet this is a developer who's done a lot of stuff and they have some plans for some new buildings.
Yeah, so the group is North Wells Capital. They're locally based. They own a lot of vintage office buildings in River North. And what they rolled out last week, and I guess they didn't roll it out, this was disclosed by Alderman Riley, who said there's going to be a public meeting about this, is two new office buildings they want to build right along the L tracks, the brown and purple line tracks, right there at Huron and Erie, kind of between Huron and Erie. They want to put one 15-story, 153,000-square-foot office building at Huron and Franklin Streets, and another one at another one that would be six stories, just about a block away from there. So, you know, just continuing their bet on office demand downtown, which has been robust, and they think it's going to continue.
And that's a really interesting little spot. So that first building, part of that site is where Nacional 27 is now. And that's an interesting spot because it seemed like maybe 10 or so years ago, lots was happening, maybe even 15 years ago, a ton was going on in the kind of art gallery space. And then it seemed really quiet lately. So it's interesting that they're moving into that particular spot.
Yeah. And actually, they just last month bought the surface parking lot that's across the street from Nacional 27, just north of it. So they are basically trying to, you know, line up all these potential projects. River North has been very popular, especially among tech companies. And, you know, they've kind of been watching to see what's the right use there and how, you know, should they go office? Should they do multifamily? And, you know, they're obviously believing in the future of, you know, this demand from these tech companies is going to continue. And, you know, they're if you look at the designs on our site of what they want to build, you know, they're new, but they still have this, you know, sort of that loft office look, which is what they've had a lot of in River North. And there's been all this great demand for sort of the creative office spaces and non-traditional brick and timber buildings. So, you know, they're going all in there and believing in the future of River North.
And that area has really, it seems like it's really retained a lot of its original look. There's a lot of, as you said, vintage buildings. They still look the same as they did years ago. So is there something special about that area that discourages developers from maybe knocking something down and rebuilding? Or is it that's just kind of the way that area happens to be?
You know, I think that that neighborhood is just really well suited for kind of the lower rise buildings, at least when it comes to offices. Obviously, you have tons of high rise apartment buildings around River North. But, you know, for offices, that's kind of what's in demand right now. When you get into the Loop and the West Loop and kind of the area surrounding and along the river, that's when you're seeing these skyscrapers proposed. But, you know, it has a different character, much like, you know, what Fulton Market has, where there's a I wouldn't call River North gritty, but, you know, the loft offices, you know, things that have been sort of reused, adapted from old buildings and made to cater to the modern office user. That's kind of what there's a lot of demand for, and that's what they're betting on.
That West Loop Fulton Market area, that's another area that's keeping you extremely busy. I feel like every day there's a new headline over there with just so much happening. So that's another area that seems like it's just going to be so interesting to watch over the next 5 or 10 years of what the character will be and how it will change and shift.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've got, I mean, just look at right now all the different new supply that's coming online. So later this year, you've got the old main post office, which is being redeveloped and is supposed to open again later this year, 2.8 million square feet. And then on the horizon, much further down the road, you've got a new 1.5 million square foot skyscraper that is going to be next to Union Station, that BM O'Harris is going to be anchoring that building. And then you've got 110 North Wacker, the new Bank of America tower that's going up. And then you got a Salesforce tower, which is at Wolf Point. Plus, throw on top of all that, all these planned developments for offices in Fulton Market. And, you know, you get to a point where this is actually starting to get a little bit nervous time for other downtown landlords that are kind of afraid of, you know, losing some of their big tenants to these buildings. And, you know, you kind of question, even though there's been great demand. And, you know, we just put out a story today that talked about how much, I mean, there was actually more demand for office space in the first quarter of this year than there was for all of last year. So, you know, that's a really good sign for downtown landlords, but there's also this supply question and, you know, whether that's going to maybe weigh down some of the rents.
Right. And then, two, I think this has been a long economic cycle, at least it seemed that way. And a lot of, as you have been reporting, and as you said, there are so many people kind of getting in on that wave. What are the tells when we can expect to start to see it go down? What is the average consumer just kind of watching the commercial real estate market from outside? What do they need to look for to know it's kind of starting to be on the downturn a bit?
Boy, if I was really good at predicting that, I'd get paid a lot more money, you know, for doing some really big job. but it's just something that, you know, the one factor, and I guess one statistic that's watched is the sublease vacancy. So if you have a lot of companies that are, you know, maybe no longer expanding, not hiring as much, maybe giving back some space and saying they're going to put some of their office space on the market for sublease, that tends to be maybe an early sign that, hey, maybe that demand for office space is maybe not as robust. You know, we haven't really seen that. It's kind of been hovering right around 1%, which has, you know, made a lot of landlords feel pretty good. But there's really so many different factors that play into commercial real estate about, you know, interest rates and, you know, the sort of the capital markets world. Are investors still investing in Chicago? And you're seeing a lot of veteran institutional developers and investors still putting their money in Chicago and believing they can get some pretty strong yield if they, you know, buy a building and hold on to it for a few years. So, you know, it's really tough to find one factor, but right now, you know, there's some kind of uncertainty about how much longer this cycle is going to last. But at the same time, you don't have people running for the doors and panicking.
Indeed. Well, but this is why we keep turning to you for the latest. So thanks so much for being with us again today.
Thanks, Amy.
Until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. I'm Amy Guth. Thank you to producer Haima Black. Find analysis, breaking news, data, and lots more at chicagobusiness.com. And find me on Twitter and let's continue the conversation there.